to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Prochaine étape, vous entendrez une interview, une présentation d'affaires, si vous voulez, durant laquelle la personne interviewée parle de son éducation, sa formation professionnelle, sa carrière et son expérience. Et en anglais commercial, il y a un mot qui résume tout cela, c'est le mot « background ». La personne parle de son « background ». Répétez, « background ». Cette personne s'appelle Gary.
Interview.
En français, on dit aussi interview, qui vient de l'anglais et qui signifie un entretien avec une personne ou plusieurs personnes, un entretien professionnel en général. Dans l'interview qui suit, l'hôtesse d'une rubrique de radio, Elizabeth, accueille Gary. Welcome to our show. Bienvenue à notre programme.
Hello Gary, welcome to our show.
Elle veut ensuite en savoir plus sur Gary et son background professionnel.
Gary, let's tell our listeners a little about your background.
Tout d'abord, un petit aperçu de vocabulaire. Quand on obtient une licence d'université, on dit « I got my BA », ce qui veut dire « Bachelor of Arts ».
I got my BA there in 1979.
La licence aux États-Unis. C'est après 4 ans d'études universitaires. On peut aussi dire « I got my BS », ce qui veut dire « Bachelor of Science ». Ensuite, Gary dit qu'il a obtenu sa maîtrise en gestion des affaires. « I got my MBA ».
Then I went to Harvard Business School to do an MBA.
MBA. Aux États-Unis, cela veut dire « Masters of Business Administration ». Pour une maîtrise générale, on dit « I got an MA, qui signifie Masters of Arts, ou bien I got an MS, une maîtrise en matière scientifique, Masters of Science. Ensuite, Gary parle de sa formation en linguistique.
My training is in linguistics.
Linguistics. Vous allez aussi entendre I started my own business.
After I got my MBA, I started my own business.
J'ai ouvert ma propre boîte, ma compagnie, mon magasin. En anglais, le terme « business » couvre tout cela. « My own », le mien, ou « à moi ».« To start », commencer. « I started », c'est le passé. « J'ai commencé ». Les questions les plus courantes venant de l'intervieweur « How did you ?» Comment avez-vous? Where did you? Où avez-vous? Par exemple, where did you study?
Where did you study linguistics?
Où avez-vous fait vos études? Et les expressions de la part de la personne interviewée? What do you want to know? Que voulez-vous savoir? What do you want to know? I studied at... Une réponse courante... I studied at, c'est le passé du verbe to study. I studied at UCLA, à l'Université de Californie, à Los Angeles. Écoutez, listen.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to our show.
Hello, Elizabeth. It's great to be here.
Gary, let's tell our listeners a little about your background.
Sure. What do you want to know?
How did you get into the language consulting business?
Well, my training is in linguistics.
Oh, where did you study linguistics?
I studied at UCLA.
That's the University of California at Los Angeles, right?
Right. I got my BA there in 1979. Then I went to Harvard Business School to do an MBA. After I got my MBA, I started my own business.
À vous de répéter après moi dans un contexte qui vous est plus familier. Listen and repeat. What is your background? Tell me a little about your background. Décrivez-moi un peu votre expérience professionnelle. What is your background? My background is in teaching. Par exemple, mon expérience professionnelle est dans l'enseignement. Répétez après moi. My background is in agriculture. My background is in mechanics. My background is in shopkeeping. Gérant de magasin. My background is in factory work. Ouvrier d'usine. Écoutez les phrases suivantes et les variations suivantes. Même si vous ne les comprenez pas toutes, je les traduirai pour vous, mais répétez quand même la phrase en anglais.
My training is in linguistics.
I studied linguistics.
I got my BA.
I graduated with a BA.
After I got my MBA, I started a business.
After I got my MBA, I formed my own business.
My training is in. My training is in teaching. Littéralement, ma formation est dans l'enseignement. Je suis instituteur ou je suis institutrice. My training is in agriculture. My training is in mechanics. My training is in marketing. Je suis formée en marketing. Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation. Des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. L'hivernage approche. C'est les premières pluies. Ayuba, un cultivateur et ses deux jeunes enfants discutent des préparatifs et des projets pour la saison. Après avoir écouté ce dialogue, vous répondrez aux questions. Vous répondrez par vrai ou faux, true or false. 1. Ayuba pense qu'il ne pleuvra pas. 2. Il y a une banque dans le village d'Ayuba. Vous répondrez aux trois questions suivantes. 1. Pourquoi Kabir dit-il qu'il va pleuvoir? 2. Que cultive Ayuba? 3. Que préfèrent Kabir et Bilal? En ce dialogue de Ayuba avec ses enfants, vous entendrez les réponses à ces trois questions et aussi du vocabulaire relatif à l'agriculture. Nous avons écouté ce dialogue Ayuba, le cultivateur, avec ses deux enfants.
Father, look at the sky. It's turned black and the birds are flying back home.
Yes, Kabir, it's very cloudy. I think it's going to rain. We better go home now before it gets late.
Dad, last year we did not grow vegetables, but our teacher told us to eat fruits and vegetables. What are we going to grow this year?
Yes, Daddy. Are you going to grow bananas and oranges? We need vitamins and fruits and vegetables to provide them.
Bilal is right, Father. Surely we're going to grow cucumbers and cabbages.
And potatoes and yams.
And why not pineapples?
My sweet children, we cannot possibly grow all of those things. But we can have rice, millet, sorghum, maize, and tomatoes.
Where are you going to find enough money for that?
He's going to get money from the bank and buy a harvest machine too.
Of course, children. Just let me know the day they open a bank in our village. I will be the first client.
Vous venez de suivre Ayuba, le cultivateur, avec ses deux enfants dans les préparatifs de la saison des pluies. L'énoncé 1 est faux. Ayuba pense qu'il ne pleuvra pas. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Il y a une banque dans le village d'Ayuba. Voilà les réponses aux questions. Pourquoi Kabir dit-il qu'il va pleuvoir? Parce que le ciel est nuageux. Que cultive Ayuba? Ayuba cultive du riz, du mil, du sorgho, du maïs et de la tomate. Que préfèrent Kabir et Bilal? Ils préfèrent les légumes et des fruits. Nous avons utilisé « what » pour dire « qu'est-ce que » et « why » pour dire « pourquoi » et « where » pour dire « où ». Ce sont des questions avec les mots qui commencent avec les lettres « wh » ou bien « wh questions ». Vous avez entendu ces phrases qui expriment des plans pour l'avenir avec l'expression « going to ». Par exemple,
I think it's going to rain.
Répétez ces autres phrases.
What are we going to grow this year?
Are you going to grow bananas and oranges?
Surely we're going to grow cucumbers and cabbages.
Et vous, que ferez-vous demain? Ou en anglais, what are you going to do tomorrow? Retenez le vocabulaire relatif aux céréales locales, puis utilisez-le dans vos propres phrases. Écoutez la traduction en anglais. Du riz, rice. Du mil, millet. Du maïs, maize. Du sorgho, sorghum. Cultiver, to grow. Venez de suivre Ayuba, le cultivateur, et ses deux enfants presque innocemment lui suggérer ce qu'il doit cultiver. Ce dialogue nous a permis d'apprendre les WH questions, questions avec les mots qui commencent avec les lettres WH. Ces questions comprennent what, why and where. Vous avez appris à parler de plans pour l'avenir avec l'expression going to. Nous avons aussi retenu quelques mots relatifs à l'agriculture. À la prochaine! Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Aujourd'hui, nous verrons Martin Lerner qui essaye de repérer un bâtiment qu'il n'a jamais vu. Il demande une description du bâtiment à plusieurs passants. Vous allez apprendre à décrire un immeuble ou un bâtiment. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Vous êtes à la recherche d'un bâtiment, a building, building. What does it look like? Comment a-t-il l'air, ce bâtiment? What does it look like? Is it near? Est-ce proche? Is it far? Est-ce loin? Écoutez.
Excuse me, where is the Roosevelt building?
You mean Roosevelt Towers?
Yes, that's it. Roosevelt Towers.
It's near the hotel.
I don't know the hotel. Where is the hotel?
It's near the church. Do you know the church?
I don't know the church either. What does the building look like?
The church?
No, Roosevelt Towers.
It's a tall building, maybe 40 stories. It's all glass.
Can you show me?
Sure. Walk over here. Now, do you see that tall glass building?
The round building?
Yes, that round building.
The blue glass building? That's Roosevelt Towers?
No, that's the Carter building. Roosevelt Towers is near there.
I can't see it.
No, you can't see it from here. It's behind the Carter building.
Okay, it's near the hotel and the church. It's behind the Carter building. It's tall and it's glass. Anything else?
It's green. The Carter building is blue. The Roosevelt building is green.
Is it round?
No, it's square.
Okay, it's tall, square, glass, and green.
And it's near the church and the hotel. You can't miss it.
I can find it. Thanks. Excuse me, I'm lost. Can you show me the Roosevelt Building?
Roosevelt Towers is very tall. It's all glass.
Okay, thanks.
Remarquez bien la façon dont on décrit un bâtiment. On parle de sa forme. It's round. Il est rond. It's square. Il est carré. On parle de leur taille. It's tall. C'est élevé. It's big. C'est grand. It's small. C'est petit. On parle aussi des matériaux qui le composent. Par exemple, glass, le verre. It's made of glass. C'est en verre. Brick, la brique. It's a brick building. Stone, la pierre. It's a stone building. Ou bien, on décrit leur couleur. Par exemple, it's a blue building. It's a green building. It's a red building. Écoutez ces phrases.
The round building.
It's square. It's a tall building. It's all glass.
Is it a brick building?
The Carter building is blue. The Roosevelt building is green.
Et maintenant, répondez à ces questions concernant les bâtiments déjà décrits. Rappelez-vous, the Carter Building, is it blue? Is it red? Peu importe en fait, si vous ne vous rappelez pas, répondez quand même. Choisissez un des adjectifs.
Is the Carter Building blue or red? Is the Roosevelt Building round or square? Is the Roosevelt Building brick or glass? Excuse me, is this the Roosevelt Building?
Yes, it is.
Thanks. Excuse me, where is the National Insurance Company?
It's not in this building.
Oh, no.
Exerçons-nous. Vous êtes à la recherche d'un bâtiment, d'une maison, d'une école ou d'un hôpital. A building. Un bâtiment. The house. La maison. The school, l'école. The hospital, l'hôpital. Peu importe, c'est un bâtiment que vous cherchez. Par exemple, en l'occurrence, the Roosevelt Building. Vous arrêtez une personne dans la rue et vous lui demandez I'm looking for the Roosevelt Building. Je cherche le bâtiment Roosevelt. I'm looking for the Roosevelt Building. La prochaine question que vous demandez à la personne, c'est comment est-ce qu'il a l'air ce bâtiment? What does it look like? Can you tell me what it looks like? Pouvez-vous me dire comment il a l'air? Can you tell me what it looks like? Autre question. How close is it? Est-ce qu'il est prêt? How close is it? Is it near? Est-ce proche? Is it near? Is it far? Est-ce loin? Is it far from here? Est-ce loin d'ici? Revoyons ces premières questions. Can you tell me what it looks like? How close is it? Is it near? Is it far from here? Voilà, donc vous avez déjà les questions générales. Prochaine question, à propos de la forme. What does it look like? Is it round? Est-ce un bâtiment rond? Is it round? Is it square? Est-ce carré? Is it tall? Est-ce grand, élevé? Is it wide? Est-ce large? Is it narrow? Est-ce étroit? Adjectif à propos de la forme. It is round. It is square. It is tall. It is wide. It is narrow. Nous continuerons à décrire l'emplacement d'un bâtiment, a building, ou d'un endroit. Essayez de le faire vous aussi. Pensez par exemple à un bâtiment que vous connaissez bien et posez-vous ces questions que l'on vient de poser dans cette leçon. Practice hard. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bienvenue. Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph and I have a guest with me today.
Je suis Daniel Grafton. Bienvenue, Michelle, aussi.
Enchanté. Oui. Welcome. We're happy to have you, Dan.
Merci.
And we are going to look at how words can be changed either by putting a prefix. That means a few words
or
in front.
Or a suffix.
Or a suffix, words, a few little letters after a
word. I learned that when I was in grade school.
Oh, good for you.
Prefix and suffix.
Right, so prefix is a few letters before a word, and suffix is a few letters after a word.
Yeah, right.
And these suffix and prefix add meaning to words, right, Dan?
They do, yes.
And it can change everything.
And they make the words move, too.
Oh, move, dynamic.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're about.
You can change a noun into a verb.
Right.
Suffix.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, that's a bit complicated, but...
like run and running.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to look at...
We won't do that. No.
We're not doing that one right now.
Okay.
But we're going to look at prefixes that all of you have heard, I'm sure. So the first one we've chosen is anti, anti or anti.
Right.
How do you say that? Anti.
Either one is okay.
Either one is okay, says Dan. I agree with that. I like that.
Okay.
Either one is okay. So, anti is against or opposite something, right?
Usually against anything.
Against anything and everything.
Yeah. Anything you're against, you're anti.
Okay, so, hey, are you anti-Michelle?
No.
I hope not.
No, I am.
And you're not anti-Anglais Télé listeners.
No.
Okay.
I'm not anti-French.
In fact, I think the opposite is pro, right?
Yeah, pro, right.
Okay, but we'll get to pro. Let's look at anti. So, if you're depressed, what would you take? Something to do the opposite.
An antidepressant.
Antidepressant. If you're having an allergic reaction, we're looking at common ones here. And I'm sneezing and coughing. The common.
Well, then you take an antihistamine.
Antihistamine. So I think you guys have heard of those. What about being anti a particular person or a particular policy or...
We can be anti-politics, anti-government,
right.
Anti-party,
anti-religion,
anti-presidents, anti-Congress.
Right. Remember people who were anti-Bush or...
Oh.
There are a lot of people anti-Obama right now.
And anti their own president of their own country.
Right. So anti, I think you guys got, you got it anti, right?
Right.
Right. I'm not anti-Dan. I'm not.
Oh, no.
Okay. So next one that's fairly common is auto that we see in front of words.
Right.
And that means the self. Auto is reflective.
Okay. It also can, you can also use it in automatic.
Right.
Which is something that happens without any, without you doing anything.
Right. Okay.
Right?
And how about, do you want, can I get your autograph?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Or I'm driving an automobile, so...
Well, some famous person would give you their autograph.
Oh, well, you're famous, Dan.
You go in the street and
you're famous.
Get the autograph.
At Voice of America, he's famous. Can I have your autograph?
Sure you can. There you go.
Okay, so autograph, automatic.
Automobile.
Automobile. Basically, it's the self in that process, right?
Right.
Something like that. How about buy? I've heard of that.
Buy. Means,
it means two.
It means two.
Right.
It
two
also means,
things.
It also means two ideas.
Two ideas.
Okay. Two,
two
thoughts.
Activities.
Two thoughts, two ideas, two politics.
Like bipartisan, you know, you have the Republicans.
Bipolar.
Bipolar when your head has kind of,
It's a person who, is mean one minute and nice the next minute.
Right, and it's usually due to chemical imbalance.
I'm sure you know people like that. It's not a good thing, but it's,
right.
But it happens.
And how do you, you know, bicycle. So
right,
that
bicycle.
One we know. Everyone knows bicycle. Bivalve, I think. Does that have to do with the heart?
It has to do with the heart. It also has to do with a fish.
Oh, yes, they
a
have
clam
these two.
A clam or an oyster is a bivalve.
Right, they have these valves that open on the side.
Right, on the side, and they let the water in and they let the oxygen out.
Right, so I think we've understood.
That's
bi
a bivalve.
Means two.
Right.
And it's happening at the same time.
Right.
Okay, how about con? I have seen
okay.
that. Con.
Well,
like, we're conversing, to converse.
Right.
Converse. It's... with. Con is with. Actually, in Spanish, con really means with, avec.
Avec.
Yeah,
avec
contigo,
in French, it's with
you. Enfant.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So
but you
con,
know, but there's the opposite of con, pro.
Oh, absolutely.
Pro and con. It
to
means you're against
for
something.
Or against,
for
with
or against.
Or not with.
Right. So con, you can be used as a determination of what you believe in, or it can be used as a prefix for a word.
So,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Let's look at it. In the context of the prefix, it still means with, like contact. I'm in contact.
Continue.
To continue.
Yeah.
To conform.
To keep going, right.
So,
to conform, to do what?
Conform to what everyone should do.
Yeah.
So you're doing what, you're with the conformed. You're with the norm of what should be done.
Right.
To converse, to contact.
That's what we're doing now. We're conversing.
Right. So it's
right.
With.
Right.
Okay. And so pro, it's kind of like the opposite of anti. It's pro.
Right.
To be pro.
To believe. To believe very much in something.
To believe. So let's say... I'm proactive. I love this Anglais télé, and I'm really proactive. And so is Dan. He puts in a lot. So, or to be... Actually, people cut it short and just say, I'm pro.
Right. You can be a pro as part of professional.
Oh, that's true.
Let's not forget
that.
Now,
don't confuse the two,
no,
guys.
No, they're different. I just
they're
said,
different.
We're
thank
away
you.
From that now.
Yeah, thanks
so,
a lot, Dan.
But it's important that they say, hey, I'm a pro, you know?
Right.
I really,
so
I'm the best
pro.
In what I do.
Right. So I'm a pro is different
right.
from, hey, I'm pro Bush or
right.
I'm pro
Obama.
Obama or...
Right. Right, totally different.
Okay, totally different.
But so one is about you, and one is about something else.
Right. So you see how confusing that could be for an English
learner? It could be. That's why we're explaining it to all you people
out
there.
Right, absolutely. Okay. So on that note, we're going to close this little chapter and get